I am Plato on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. One of the most anticipated openings of the season begins shortly. Helen Lawrence is at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage until the 13th of April. It's a unique theatrical experience blending Vancouver history of the late 1940s with photographs and films. It's a mixed-media spectacle conceived by Stan Douglas, with its story written by him and Chris Haddock, who joins me now. I'll get Mr. Haddock to tell us about what we might expect, how the show came about, and more. Chris Haddock is a noted screenwriter, director, and producer who's won many awards for such television shows as Da Vinci's Inquest, Da Vinci City Hall, and Intelligence. He has also written for Boardwalk Empire. The website for more is at artsclub.com. You can get tickets and information there. Please welcome to the Plato on the Line program, Chris Haddock. Mr. Haddock, good morning.
Thank you very much. I can say nobody's anticipating it more than me.
Yeah.
It'll be quite a thing to pull off. It's really been an incredibly ambitious undertaking, driven by the persistent Stan Douglas.
So how long have you been involved in all of this?
Well, I've known Stan for probably about 15 years, and after a couple of years, he asked if I could recommend some good film crew to him at the time, and I was shooting Da Vinci's Inquest, and I turned him on to my producer and director of photography and so on, so he picked up some of that crew to use on a couple of his film gallery installation projects and so on like that. So we began that kind of association back then, and then eventually we'd yammered about finding something to collaborate on and have some fun with. And eventually Stan came up with this, what was then the germ of the Helen Lawrence project, but at that time, when it was first conceived, it was conceived of as a gallery installation for which I'd, write a few, characters and short scenes and so on like that, and never saw it, being a big obligation or anything like that. And here it is, about 5 years on from that, when it's grown from a gallery installation to a possible television event. And now, finally, to what it is today, which is, a filmed play, a theatrical, cinematic collaboration that has really got some terrific technical thinking behind the creation of a lot of the computer-generated imagery that Stan has built from original archival inspirations of, the real photographs of the two major locations, both Hogan's Alley and East End, which is where it existed, was now underneath the now existent Georgia Viaduct there crossing Main Street. And on the other side of town, the second old Hotel Vancouver, which is the one that nobody remembers, was there between the first and the one that now exists today. And he's built, through computer modeling and imaging, that reconstructions of those in which the actors can walk literally and sort of around in between by marrying what we see on stage on a stage scrim. So what you're experiencing a live film and the creation of a film. You're participating in the, as it's constructed, sort of in front of you. It's quite an amazing effect at sitting in the Stanley and watching this thing unfold. Yeah, I really had no idea if I was all going to come across and what would be theatrical and what would be cinematic and what would be a combination of the two and stuff. So it wasn't until it really was realized there in the Stanley and a couple of tests that we did there a few months ago, before going up to Banff and developing it further, it was just really amazing to see a 70-millimeter wide image really up there on the Stanley, like I hadn't seen since I'd been to sort of Lawrence of Arabia or one of those, CinemaScope things. So just the power of the size of getting into a theater that has those big screens again was something. But the fact that we're projecting, capturing the live actors as they act against a plain blue background on stage, as the cameras capture that, and simultaneously with no delay, project it to the entire width and height of the stage proscenium. That in itself is quite an experience, but it grows through the play as you get used to seeing and holding the two planes in your eye. It's quite a fascinating kind of experience, just to experience how it evolves throughout the evening. And of course, it allows us to do great kind of great visual backdrops and interiors and atmospheres and so on like that. So it is really quite a big undertaking.
And it seems ideal because the Stanley used to be a movie house, and it's been a theater space for 15 years or so now. So you brought both of those elements together, haven't you?
Yeah, it has. Working in that theater is a wonderful thing. I've never done theater before. Stan hasn't either. And to come in and to that and the whole process of how theater is also, you know, the protocol of theater production as opposed to the protocol of film production, all the things you kind of have to learn up on the fly and try to accommodate. And that working in that theater is quite something. It's really it's a beautiful space, obviously.
Yeah, so Helen Lawrence is a central figure, I guess, in the show. Who is she, really?
Well, she's one of many characters. She's an enigmatic character at first, but we learn through various revelations that she's come to find a man that she tells us is responsible for the murder of her husband, but her word may be somewhat held suspect, as she's been she herself has been accused of engineering that. So she has good reason to cast doubt on somebody else. So we're left with trying to figure out who's the reliable narrator and witness in the tale, and who might really be involved in the circumstances, if there are any, that were conspired to kill her husband. So that's her role. A bit of based, obviously, on the classic noir trope of femme fatale.
And so she comes to Vancouver from out of town.
Correct.
And so she ends up in Hogan's Alley, is that right?
Well, amongst many other places, she's seeking somebody who can connect her to a couple of people that she's searching. So it's really, she's becoming, and as that allows us to see Vancouver of 1948 through her point of view, as well as the point of view of the rest of the ensemble. So she is definitely a character that leads us on one very important strand of the story.
So if we go see this show, Helen Lawrence, do we get a sense of what Hogan's Alley was like?
I think absolutely. I mean, you know, we fictionalized, obviously. We did our and Stan's done a lot of thinking and reading about that area for a long time, and but it's a completely fictionalized version of some of the events that occurred in Vancouver in 1948. But the alley itself, how that's been constructed, all the sets and interiors and exteriors of Hogan's Alley have been lovingly recreated from archival photographs, so that the sets you're seeing are at the actual real locations, rendered through computer imagery to become an interactive set, as you would see it in any film.
So I guess what one comes away from the show, from what I've read at least, because I haven't seen it yet, is that Vancouver wasn't a sort of genteel place in the post-war years, right?
Well, yeah, not by any means, at least not the particular slice of life that we're illustrating. One of the things that Standard Discovery around when it had piqued his interest to this period and found it a way to focus some of his thinking was 1955, there was a famous police inquiry, the Tupper inquiry, or judicial inquiry into the corruption of the Vancouver police force during the 1947-48 years. And the subsequent removal of much of the police force and the rapid leaving of town of the chief of police who had been in power at that moment. And that whole inquiry just investigates the corruption regarding a lot of the vice houses, and of which, of course, Hogan Valley had more than its share, and then the other side of town to the old Vancouver Hotel, which housed during this period. It was originally squatted by veterans demanding housing, and then got some federal support and became a that kind of settlement, a transition house for returning World War II veterans. So there's that side of that, and that's and they're both of those places are about to be, or at least being threatened by future demo, you know, immediate or future demolition. So they have those kinds of things in common. So there's sort of the east side, west side view of things going on at the same time.
Yeah, for a lot of people, your depiction of Vancouver through Da Vinci and intelligence is how people look at the city. In a way, I guess years from now, people will look at those programs and see what Vancouver was like. So going back to the era of Helen Lawrence and the post-war period of the 40s, what interested you about that period and that you wanted to, say, convey in this show?
Well, I just really just you know, the lens of sort of looking back through both fiction and history allows you to you know, just focus. I mean, you don't have the time to, you know, give a real sort of verisimilitude of everything that was going on by any means, but it gives you a little bit of distance, you know, and just the fact that you're seeing the fashions of 1948 and you know, the world, the buildings and so on like that, the atmosphere gives you a distance that allows you to see some of maybe some of the sort of movements that are still going on today between development and corruption and et cetera, the state of the world today and all that kind of thing, is that you get to see the similarities simply by focusing on some of the things and some of the patterns that have been consistent, you know, in terms of how power is distributed amongst the city and how real estate is developed and how it's acquired and all that kind of stuff. So you get that, there are all those kinds of things are just woven in to give you a sense that, you know, that that's what the city was like back then, and we can probably recognize some of those things still at play today. So that's sort of the way to do it. It's just got to play against, you know, the past against the present and so on like that. So
yeah, and
it gives it...
Well, we're sort of in an interesting time, aren't we? Because, I mean, there's talk at City Hall of knocking down the viaducts and sort of reclaiming that part of town again.
Yeah, exactly. So what you see is... But it's also just, there's also a parallel of sort of reconstruction after the war, you know, where things, where turfs were was being redistributed after, you know, the bloody international crime war for turf and resources and blame and then the redistribution, you know, all that kind of thing. It's happening, the wave, the sort of the echo wave happened that throughout the world as cities were resettled, as soldiers returned, and, you know, money, a little bit of money started to flow back into American and Canadian production because it had been destroyed overseas. All of those kinds of things parallel the little crime war that's going on in the redistribution of power amongst the sort of the police department. And something like that. So all those echoes are there and built into it and just become really the ground for the characters in the play who are, you know, have their own personal stories to deal with and tell during the hour and a half.
Yeah, you've got a great cast assembled as well. I mean, looking at the credits, they just accomplished on both the stage and the screen, right?
Yeah, it was really, you know, it's been a huge, I got to tell you, the actors really need, you know, a huge amount of recognition simply for the amount of sort of skills that they've been asked to bring to the table in a relatively short time to work it all up as well. So they're also, many of the actors end up being camera operators themselves, so when they're not playing a part on the stage, they go around to you know, man one of the four cameras that are filming all this at the same time, and then of course projecting it immediately up onto the screen at the front of the stage. So they are having to not only be completely immersed in their roles, but they also have to be completely on their toes to be able to operate the cameras and frame the characters and. It's really a huge, huge, huge challenge. You get to see a bit of it. That work isn't hidden, you know. It's sort of transparent. And I know it sounds like there's a million things going on, But strangely, it really, really focused. And you get used to seeing behind the scrim in which the black and white film version is being projected. You see the much smaller scale live actors on stage, you know, in the flesh, and there's a strange relationship that overcomes you between their image projected and their image unadorned on the stage. It's really adds an extra dimension, and then the camera people are seen in silhouette, so you have this really layered and sort of almost multiple awareness of the layers of what's going on. So that really kind of all contributes to the point of view that you end up adopting as an audience member, like taking quite a few perspectives into mind while you're viewing and hearing these stories.
Does the show have a life beyond Vancouver? I mean, after this month run, will it go elsewhere?
Yeah, it certainly does. It's got quite an international run. It's going from here. I think this is the order. It's going from here to Montreal for the Transatlantique Festival, mm-hmm. and then it goes to Munich to the Munich Theater for a run there, and then it goes to Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Drama Festival. Now that's over the length of the summer and into early fall, and then returns from Edinburgh to the next performance is its premiere at Canadian Stage in Toronto. And then there's rumors of other theaters acquiring it for that performance, but that's all I know so far.
Will you do more TV?
Well, I do, yeah, absolutely. I'm in the middle of developing stuff right now, so it's this was really something that just happened to sort of come along and get some wind behind it. I'm in development of a couple of projects that I'm very eager and happy to see inching forward.
Yeah, most people that go from other mediums to theater tend to find the experience difficult or not fun. I mean, but from what I've heard thus far, it's been a good experience doing this, right?
Oh, man, you know, anything where you learn and get your skills tested and have to, you know, rattle a bunch of your old assumptions and acquire some new skill sets. You know, the only thing you can say about it is that you learn something. I'm really enjoying it. It's a challenging in every way, and that's always good to keep you fresh. So, you know, the challenges that I meet in trying to figure out how to do this thing and helping the collaboration, I just take back to, you know, my other work and realize, oh, yeah, no, well, that might work. Or even, you know, things like there was an actor I hadn't worked with before, and boy, what a good opportunity to see them work, and I got to start thinking about them for any, you know, that kind of, all the things that it stimulates is good for you. I mean, some of it's tough, but TV's a motherfucker, too, so, you know. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, like a lot of people in this town, we're looking forward to this. It just sounds like a great show. Break a leg, as they say, Chris.
Yeah, I really appreciate you showing some interest. I hope to see you there.
Indeed. Artsclub.com is the website for tickets and information. Chris Haddock joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.